Great God, may the meditations of our hearts and the words of our mouths be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is said that a good preacher preaches with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, and I forgot my prop. It was such a great prop, too. How many of you saw the front page of the Vancouver Sun yesterday? Yes? Okay? Bright yellow. If you vote this way, this is, you know, it will cost you that. So the Bible reading for today comes from a story told by the gospel writer Mark. And Mark writes this story. The two disciples, James and John, came to Jesus saying, "When you come into the glory of your kingdom, promise us that we will rule with you, one on your right and one on your left. Promise us we will be the most important people in the kingdom." And Jesus answered them, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you ready to drink from the same cup that I drink? Are you ready to be baptized as I will be baptized?" And they give the same response that anyone gives who doesn't really understand what they're getting into. You know, somebody who volunteers to be the chair of a committee that they've never sat on, for example. They should still do it, okay? But they don't understand what they're getting into, and they say, "Of course we can do that. Bring it on, especially if that cup has wine in it. No problem." And they don't imagine that the cup they'll drink and the baptism that they'll come to will be torture and death. Neither do they realize that the glory they'll find is more than gold or silver, more amazing than wealth, more powerful than earthly power. They do not understand the true nature of the new kingdom. They don't understand the true nature of glory. They also don't understand the cost. That's the Bible in one hand. And on the front page of the newspaper is that advertisement, casting fear if you vote for the wrong party. It will cost you. I wonder how much that ad cost them. Sometimes the Spirit moves in strange and wonderful ways. This Bible story from Mark is not something I chose because of what tomorrow is. I didn't choose it because we're on the eve of the election. The story is the assigned reading from the lectionary for today, read around the world, Catholics in France and Italy, Methodists in Alabama, Anglicans in London, Presbyterians in Tanzania and Hong Kong will read this scripture today. All together, we read this story of two men on the precipice of great and terrible and wonderful change in their lives and in the world, who will be part of that change and have no idea what's coming, no idea what they're getting into. They really imagine that really everything's going to change, stay the same, except they'll be on the top instead of the bottom. They imagine the Romans will be overthrown, the power of the temple leaders will be limited, but they also imagine that the structure of the world in which they live will be the same. There will be people with power and wealth living the good life, people on the bottom with no power living in poverty, people in the middle just trying to get by. But in this new world, they'll be the people with power and wealth living the good life. Just in case you don't know the rest of the story, that's not what happened. They became the followers of Jesus, and they drank from his cup, and they suffered his baptism. They changed the world. They led many people to change, to compassion, to possibility, and in some cases, actually out of slavery and into freedom. And they died as martyrs, not with wealth and earthly power. The glory they found was the most simple. The most simple of interactions with people, and they discovered the truth of Jesus' next statement. Jesus said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and the great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first among you must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Bishop William Willimon tells a story about a young man he knew who had led a very turbulent life, especially as a teenager and as a young man. And in a very emotional time, he decided to turn to Christ, and he speaks of giving his life over to Christ. Years after that, Willimon went to visit that young man that he had known when Willimon was working in a university. That young man now runs a ministry for inner-city kids in East St. Louis. He lives in a dangerous, tough part of town. He shares the lot of the kids who come to his ministry. He's been the victim of crime. And Willimon said, "I marveled at his faith and faithfulness." Willimon asked him about it, and the man said, "There was a time when I found Jesus, and I thought he was going to give me things. Now I think Jesus found me, and what he gave me was a job." This man is still part of the Bible story, an inheritor of the traditions of James and John, a young man who thought Jesus would give him glory and solve all his problems, found that instead he'd been given a job. In the changes he makes in the lives of others, there is glory. There are likely times of laughter, perhaps there's times of joy, also heartbreak and confusion. And the power that he wields is very simple, to make a positive change in the lives of others, one person at a time. So what for you today is the story in this? There is no greater temptation in heaven or on earth than the temptation to power. The story of the fall of Lucifer, the bright angel who fell from heaven, is the story of an angel who sought the power of God for himself. The very beginning of Jesus' ministry is the story of going into the desert where the devil offers him the great temptations. "Worship me, and I will give you power over all the nations of the earth." If Jesus had just been another general, another warrior, another politician, he might have had great short-term power, like the emperors of Rome and the presidents of great nations. But he would have no power and no glory today. The moments in Canadian history that have best defined Canada at its best have not been led by men of great military power or economic glory. Canada at its best has been defined by moments of compassion and sacrifice. They have been the great projects that connected us with one another, the decisions that allowed us to live together in peace despite difference, the choice to be one of the first nations to have universal medical coverage, the sacrifice of many to keep Vimy Ridge, to keep the great coal fields from literally powering tyranny, the building of a railway that connects thousands of miles of communities and people, a radio service that told us about each other and brought together our stories, the role that Canada has played as peacekeeper rather than as a military power. And the instances of Canada's greatest shame and failures have been those times when people of power abused their power over others. The theft of land, the residential school system that stole children and destroyed families, the shame of turning away Jewish refugees who were sent back to their deaths in Germany, the internment of Canadian citizens, the theft of property during World War II if they were of Japanese descent. The greatest things Canada has done, those things that we have long said define us as a nation, are the actions of compassion. They're the heritage of Indigenous people shared in the knowledge of land, the incredible hard work of immigrants who homesteaded, built railways, established communities between unlikely people. And by the way, if you want to hear more about that last, read the article by Calgary's mayor in the Globe and Mail this week. And perhaps in the future, they believed that we could be a nation that learns how to find the means of reconciliation. On the eve of an election, we read in the Bible, in the newspaper, about those who ask, "Make me the most important in the kingdom. Grant me glory and power." And Jesus asks, "Can you drink this cup with me?" For whoever wishes to be great among you must be a servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be the slave of all. If that were just instructions to politicians, that would be interesting enough, but it's not. They're instructions to us, too. We come to church each week longing for God, longing for Christ, longing for a love that will not let us go, longing for compassion for ourselves and for those we love. And sometimes God's answer to that longing comes in the form of a job. Day after tomorrow, some people will wake up with new jobs. In the building of a nation, what will our jobs be? What is it that Christ calls us to do in the face of tyranny or in collaboration with possibility? How does the compassion of Christ express itself among us? What strength do we need to ask of God in order to drink the cup with Him? In that compassion, in that strength, we pray that God will let us support one another. As a congregation, let us support this community, this broader community, to be the best it can be. And for that purpose now, would you pray with me? Great God in heaven and on earth, we stand on the brink of possibility. Whatever happens tomorrow, you have a job for us. You call us into compassion. You call us to witness to the possibilities of life. And we ask that you carry us out into the world with the knowledge that whether we are happy or sad tomorrow at the outcome, still, you have a job for us. Amen.